It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Greetings, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. If you're concerned about the shape of the church today, in particular your church, then stay tuned for what we've got in store for you on this week's program. I'm not talking about an exercise program either. I want to make that clear. I'm referring to the spiritual condition of your church. If you're one of what I've often called the refugee remnant who doesn't fit into a church, feels like they're left out because you've troubled people with minor details such as following the Bible, then you need to know that you're not alone. Perhaps you've gone from church to church to church, and you've wondered, is there a body? Is there a pastor? Is there a church who is dedicated to follow God's truth in your community? If you've traversed the land and searched for a church that holds firmly to the Word of God, and not just with lip service either, and if perhaps you've just given up and you've resigned yourself just to stay at home rather than just be disappointed or disillusioned again and again and again, then this program today may be particularly important to you. Now, before we begin, I want to remind you that after 15 months on the air as a half-hour-a-week program, Take a Stand Radio is now a full 1 hour each week. Before we get into the topic today, which I know is going to be a timely message and hopefully an encouraging message, even though the impetus of the message is somewhat disturbing, I want to remind you of the many ways you can connect with us and our ministry. First of all, our website, ericbarger.com, is a resource center. It's not an advertisement for the ministry. It is a resource center with all kinds of information that deals with the cults and the occult and current events and Bible prophecy, how all these things fit together, and how we in the church need to refute these things that are happening in the world around us. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And our mobile apps, maybe the best way to catch up with me is on our mobile apps for iPhone, iPad, iPod, and of course on Android. And you can find those just by searching for my name, Eric Barger, and you'll find our free app and download it to your phone or to your device for iPhone, iPad, iPod, and Android. And then we have a newsletter as well. Our printed newsletter comes out about every other month. Our email newsletter, probably about 3 times every month, and you'll be able to catch up with what I'm doing all those different ways. And let me say that all of that, our newsletters, our website, our mobile apps, all of that is free of charge to anyone, anywhere in the world. All right, with all that said, I don't want to shortchange the time that we're going to spend on the message this week. This is important stuff. It was recorded at Jan Markell's Understanding the Times Conference up in Minnesota back in 2010. We're going to listen to the entire DVD soundtrack from Divorced from Church, How Apostasy is Scattering the Sheep. This is completely unusual, what I'm going to speak about with you this morning. You know, the messages at a conference like this are thought about a long time ahead of time. And Jan and I brainstormed, and she's given me some good input on this particular message, because we did a radio program on this topic, and some of you might have heard it back on January 30th. But to talk about being divorced from church, well, it's just a symptom of the day that we live in today, how apostasy is scattering the sheep. For many years, I've received emails, letters, phone calls from people who have said, I used to go to church, but my church doesn't teach the Bible anymore, and I can't go. Or I feel so estranged from my church, or I continual state of dismay about what is going on in my church body. So many people feel like they're divorced from church. Finally, I put together one of our email updates that goes out to several thousand folks on January 17th, it was. I put out the first of two right in a row about being divorced from church, and the second one was called More of Divorced from Church. Because we got so many emails from people, and I'm going to read some of them this morning. It is cumbersome for me to stand here and just read off my screen, but I think for the sake of the video and the audio that we're making today, and for your sake, that you need to hear what some of the people that wrote to me back after that first email that I put out, what they had to say.
So in our email update on the 17th of January, this is what I said in starting. Repulsed by emergent thinking, liberal theology, endorsements for the book The Shack, or the purpose-driven and seeker philosophies, many authentic believers are experiencing one of the most unsettling situations a Christian will ever be confronted with. Since alarming numbers of once trustworthy pulpits and leaders are trumpeting varieties of emergent and other heresies, what is a dedicated Bible believer to do? Should we stay or must we go? While God may call some to try to warn others and to initiate a return to orthodoxy within their local churches, many are faced with either accepting or putting up with error or with leaving. A recurring painful theme I read in many emails each month is the plight of so many brothers and sisters who have been treated as a theological outcast due to their continued stand for God's truths. Often the letters start out by saying something like, quote, "We've been members of the so-and-so church for 40 years, but now we just stay home." Here are a few examples of the emails that came back to me after I wrote those and other words in our email update. Eric, I found your site through my Olive Tree Ministries newsletter. Excuse me. I am so thankful for every ministry who still takes a stand for the Word of God in this upside-down world we have found ourselves in. I have been very, very alarmed at the church I belong to as I have watched the pastor bring in the purpose-driven life and the shack. My husband and I have become so alarmed and put off by the seeker-sensitive garbage we are witnessing in our church that we now watch a trusted and true preacher of nothing but the gospel on TV on Sundays. We don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but it's become increasingly difficult to find a pastor who sticks to the blood of Jesus as the only way and feeds the sheep so we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are truly living in the perilous times the Bible talks about. Thank the Lord for the internet, and thank you for being true to His calling upon your life. And that was a lady that we'll call her KM from Florida. Another letter from the internet said this: "Thank you for posting the article on divorce from the church on my email. However, I am still crying over it. It does make me not feel all alone, but I am so grieved by the deception in the churches." CL from California wrote, "We have just left our church for the same reasons. Calling out apostasy is a very important thing to be doing in this time. Knowing that so many others are dealing with the same thing makes it a little easier." This was just a great email, one person wrote. I do want to thank you so much. I have forwarded it to many on my email list, whether they will like it or not. I pray that God will open their eyes. We desperately need this discernment today. We have wandered from church to church for the past 5 years since moving to this retirement community and have seen such changes. It's astonishing. It was J.K. from Pennsylvania. Another letter said, "When we received your email tonight telling of other believers that had been cast off or had to leave their church, it shocked me. We weren't alone. We have gone to 15 churches in our area and have been grieved by what we found. It started around 2007. We had a good country church that taught sound doctrine, but the new pastor changed overnight. He cast out mature Christians and installed unknown people in the church board. They acted like tyrants. So we left. Each day I cry out to the Lord for a church family, but can find no sound doctrine." PM from Washington. After the second of these emails, I was scheduled to be on Jan's radio program on Saturday morning, the 30th of January, and we decided we would cover this topic for an hour. She had read my emails and thought that that was something we ought to do. And during that time, we took a poll, a very unscientific poll, and we asked callers to call into the radio station here in Minneapolis and to respond to just 2 points. And these were the questions or the points that Jan brought out, and we wanted people to respond to them. Number one, I have had to leave a church because things weren't right, because of heresy, because of wrong doctrine, etc. Or number two, I have never had to leave a church, and I am in a good, solid church. And so we ask the engineer, Brian, to take these calls off the air, which he did. And for about 20 to 30 minutes, the calls went on. There were 62 responses. All their phones lit up, evidently, at one time. And here was poor Brian trying to engineer the show and, as well, take the phone calls and try to talk to people at the same time. Some of you may remember the astounding lopsided response we got. 47 people called in of the 62 and said they had had to leave a church. Some of them said they'd left several churches, one after another. One lady, who was an employee of a church after 30 years, had to leave because she could no longer put up with the false doctrine being taught. Only 15 people responded and said they had not had to leave the church. I thought it might be 50-50. I made that mention over the air, and both Jan and I were taken aback by the idea that that many people from that figure would call and give us those responses. So my question to you today, and I hope every one of you here will respond to one of these two things. My question is the same to you today. And first question is the painful one. How many of you here have had to walk away from a church due to a totally biblical, truly biblical, or doctrinal dispute? Would you raise your hand if that's you and you've had to walk away from a church? I thought we'd probably see that kind of response. How many of you have never had to walk away from a church and you're in a good, sound, biblical church? Praise the Lord. I'm grateful to see that response as well. But that's kind of what we thought. More than half said they had to walk away. You are not alone, those of you who raised your hands to that first question. You are certainly not alone. You are surely not the only one to feel abandoned. You're not the only one to feel estranged and distraught in this day, the day that we live in. And you know, we go back to the Old Testament, we see Elijah felt the same way. He thought he was perhaps the only Israelite, let alone the only prophet who had not forsaken God. He thought he was the only one. And yet we see in 1 Kings chapter 19, God spoke and said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So we aren't alone, even though we may not know who everybody else is. But I hope that you, who have gone through the trauma and the pain of having to walk away from a church because of things like emergent or purpose-driven or seeker or liberalism or whatever heresy it might have been, I hope you know that you are not alone. You are loved by God, and there is a church body that you're still a part of. Amen? Now, how many of you have ever tried to dialogue with a friend or a family member who's a part of a liberal or emergent church? You tried to talk to them. Would you slip your hand up? I won't ask how many of you have been frustrated in those conversations, because I think I kind of know the answer to that one already. But that's certainly the case, and I certainly have been involved in those discussions as well.
You're listening to Take a Stand Radio with your host, Eric Barger.
We'll get back to the rest of the message in just a few seconds, folks, but I do want to make sure you're aware that you can order either the CD or the DVD copy of Divorced from Church, and the DVD does have all the complete PowerPoint that I used in the message. You can do so by simply visiting our website web store. It's a safe and secure spot on the internet that you can order at ericbarger.com or by calling 214-289-5244. Maybe you or someone you know is a member of what I referred to as the Refugee Remnant. This DVD or the audio CD will be a source of help and hope to anyone who knows the pain of watching a church implode theologically or having to bid farewell to a church because of apostasy. I appreciate your support as well, folks. This is a great way for you to support Take a Stand Radio. If you believe this kind of radio is important, we do need your help, and I do appreciate it. Well, let's get back to the message now. Divorced from church, when apostasy scatters the sheep. So in the message here this morning, these are the points we're trying to make. This is what we're trying to bring out. First of all, to face the problem that a lot of people today feel divorced, estranged from church.
then we want to find some solutions, and hopefully we'll do that. And we also want to talk about surviving the spirit of the age we live in. And you know, as I was putting the slides together, I kept thinking that word surviving really doesn't say what I want to say, so I thought we should say overcoming the spirit of the age. How's that sound? Sound better, doesn't it? We just don't want to survive. We're overcomers. Praise the Lord. So it's just not about surviving. Now we have a clear and advanced warning in the scripture which describes the very day that we're living in today. This ought to give us great solace. It ought to encourage our hearts. And as painful as and unsettling as it may be, none of this should surprise Bible-believing Christians. The things we are seeing going on today is what we see the scriptures say the end times will look like. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a passage that I simply can't get away from, Paul says to his son in the faith, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." He didn't say maybe. He didn't say could be. He didn't say it might happen. He says perilous times shall come. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Now somebody would say, well, that describes the world that we're living in today pretty well, doesn't it? The problem is, Paul is not talking about the world. The next verse tells us Paul is talking about those inside religious circles. He is pointing to those who would claim to be the church. And he says, that's what it's going to look like at the end of the end days. And this is why it will be perilous. "They'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof." Dr. Walter Martin pointed out many years ago that that passage could easily be translated, "They'll have a form of the religion of Christ, but without God." They will say they're the church. They'll contend they're Christians. They will use hymn books and Bibles and maybe even have a choir, but they'll be bankrupt and void of the truth. So we're warned of this very situation. And Paul's answer wasn't to dialogue with them to figure out how much you might have in common with them. Paul's answer was run from it. He says, from such turn away. And why would he make that strong statement? I've said so often that I heard a Texas preacher say one time that if you stick around heresy long enough, it'll get on you. And he was right. Run from it. Turn from those. From such turn away. And he goes on and says, "For of this sort which are they, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts." And the next verse he gives us more information. "They'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They might have PhD behind their name. They might have earned doctorates and all kinds of degrees. It doesn't matter how much they might have found out in some seminary. If what they were taught demoted the scripture and did not point to Jesus as the only answer, and if they have lost their way, what good was their education?" I'm all for being educated. But I've said for a long time, if my granddaughters left Christian school knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, but couldn't read or write, I'd call it a victory. Thank God, though, the good Christian education that they're getting where they are. And we're seeing the results of it now that two of them are in 7th and 8th grade. It is wonderful to watch. But we see a lot of people who go off to Christian university, and I get those notes and emails too. The parents who are distraught because they sent their kids out to a Christian college, and the kids come back after 6 months and tell them there is no God. And I'm not kidding. I get notes like that. You see what's happened in the church. We have replaced the preaching of the Word of God with programs and with fads. We have all the self-help sermonettes you can imagine. We have the feel-good gospel being preached right and left. And then we have people who say, let's not talk too much about Jesus, the seeker-sensitive people. We have the purpose-driven crowd. We have the emergent crowd. We have blatant, bold liberalism. And it all equates up to one word, apostasia, apostasy in English. That's what's happening around us today. And it's no wonder we have a great amount of people who are seeming to wander through the wilderness. These end times dangers are prophetic, and they're advancing, and I've already told you why. Because of the lack of regard for the Word of God. This is exactly why this has happened in our theological institutions and our mainline denominations and now inside evangelical denominations and circles. It is happening because they aren't following the Bible. And because in many cases the seminaries and Bible colleges are teaching against the authenticity of the very Word of God. Amos tells us about this condition. He prophesies very correctly to our day, and Amos 8 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the matter of Beersheba liveth, even though they shall fall and never rise again." Now, there's interesting points in there that if you didn't know what to look for and what these phrases mean, I think we need to point out. The sin of Samaria was religious idolatry. It was cultism. And people will follow after cultism and then never find the truth of the Word of God because they have followed it. The other phrase there, the manner of Beersheba liveth, this is a blatant in-your-face against true worship. An ancient mocking insult and a challenge to anyone desiring to follow God's prescription in worship. It is denying Jerusalem, is endorsing the high places, that would be the cultic spots, and proclaiming that any worship is good worship. You know, just pick your God. Baal, sure. Jehovah, maybe. Yeah, Ashtoreth, Molech, well, they're all okay. Whatever one you want to worship is okay. Or in the mixing of them together. That's what this is saying. The manner of Beersheba liveth, mocked the prophets of God, controverted the word of God, claimed to be a renewal of the ancient esoteric practices and truths. Sound familiar? Anybody who knows and understands what the emergent church is teaching knows that's exactly what they stand on so much. And proclaiming to do your own thing, and if it feels good, do it. Modern vernacular. So that sounds very much like the emergent church movement, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like what some of us have battled in our local churches, having a form of godliness but without Jesus Christ. This is exactly what is happening in the church today, and this is why the church, the real church, you and I, who love God and who love His Word, need to have the Bible open and do what it says. And it won't be judgmental, and it won't be unkind, and it won't be nitpicky when you and I begin to test everything and hold on to that which is good and avoid abstain from every kind of evil. Prove all things, the King James says. Test everything. That's the prescription. If you're to remain healthy in the day we live in, that's the prescription, no matter what it costs, to stay true to the Word of God. We're to examine ourselves to make certain that we are in the faith. Every one of us should take stock of where we're at to see if we have slipped into some sort of religious ideals or slumber.
You're listening to Take a Stand Radio with your host, Eric Barger.
We've all heard the interviews, we've read the news reports, and we've probably encountered the missionaries at our doorstep. Now, after 30 years of research and study, Eric Barger's latest DVD addresses the daunting question, are Mormons Christians? In this biblical comparison of Mormonism and Christianity, Eric explores the beliefs and practices of Mormonism, cutting through the rhetoric and decisively answering the title question, are Mormons Christians? Included is an overview of Mormon history, the accuracy of Mormon prophets and prophecies, the Mormon version of Jesus versus the biblical Jesus, the Mormon claim that man can become a god, and what Mormonism teaches about good works and salvation. Finally, Eric Barger lovingly discusses the real question, is Mormonism compatible with Christianity, and can the beliefs of the LDS Church redeem men's souls? Over an hour in length and packed with many visuals, quotes, and scriptures, this DVD will challenge both Mormons and Christians to examine what they believe and why they believe it. Order your copy of Eric Barger's new DVD, Are Mormons Christians, by visiting our online store at ericbarger.com or by calling 214-289-5244.
Hi, this is Eric Barger. Did you know that Take a Stand Radio is heard across the United States and on the Internet worldwide each week because someone just like you connected with how important telling the hard truth is in our culture? For 30 years, Take a Stand Ministries has existed to see the lost saved and the church changed for the glory of God. But if we're going to continue this kind of cutting-edge ministry here on the radio, we need your financial support at this pivotal time. You can donate by mail, online, or by calling our office, and I invite you, come on and take your stand with us. Get involved.
The end times are going to be fraught with deception. It is now fast becoming normal, isn't it, inside church circles? When I meet someone at an airport or on an airplane or in a restaurant or somewhere out on the road or maybe around where I live, and they say they're Christians, I always kind of go, I wonder what that means to them. You almost have to dig and pry and ask questions or proclaim who you are. You know, I'm afraid to use the word evangelical anymore. How about you? I mean, if I use the word evangelical, I've almost got to use a paragraph afterward to explain what that means to me, because so many people like Brian McLaren and others calling themselves evangelicals, and as I've said so often, if they're evangelicals, I'm not, and I didn't leave them, they left me. Just ask your friends. If we could go back in time and we could talk to those who are watching the same thing happen in the once evangelical, now called mainline churches, the Methodists, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, some of the Lutherans, some of the Baptists, Disciples of Christ and others. If we could ask them what the signs were, the trouble signs, just before their theological institutions and then their denomination and then their pulpits and then the congregations began to slide down the tube into apostasy, they would tell us that the same thing is now happening in evangelical circles. The same thing taking place today. It is where it's going because it is the end days. That's not a negative, folks. That's just the plain observation for what is happening. That's why meetings like this are so important, that we're able to come together and rally around the central truth of the Word of God and say, I am watching and I am waiting and I am ready and I know He's coming again soon. That's why ministries like Jan Markell's and others worth their salt are so important. Now, I pulled a couple of slides from one of my other seminars here. This is from my seminar, The Most Dangerous Cult, that deals with how liberalism affected the mainline denominations and how they were then brought to apostasy. I want to point out what was taking place inside those mainline denominations and what some of the people in them did when those denominations started going down the tube, because it relates to us today who are now finding ourselves trying to figure out if there's a church out there that we can attend. Some of those people back in that hour, 100, 150 years ago, they moved their membership to a doctrinally sound church because they knew the Word of God and they had their Bibles open and they understood what was happening and they couldn't stay where they were because they knew it was dangerous. Some of them stayed in liberal churches out of biblical ignorance. They didn't know what the Bible said. Way more dangerous to sit around and not know. Some of them stayed in liberal churches because of tradition, family, and friendships. I'll admit to you, this is one of the toughest issues here. I was at a conference in North Carolina several years ago, and I was one of the speakers, and Dr. Jerry Falwell was one of the speakers, and He had just spoken, and I was in a conversation with some people a few feet away from him, and he was talking to people, and my conversation ended, and I knew Dr. Falwell a little bit, so I walked over to where he was and kind of standing behind him listening, and there was a young girl, I'm going to guess, well, you know, now that I'm 59, 25 is young. So a young girl was standing there, and she was talking to Dr. Falwell, and she was making a case. She was saying, but Dr. Falwell, I can't leave the church. My grandmother helped start that church. She's buried in the cemetery in the churchyard. And Dr. Falwell must have known this particular church because he said to the girl, if your grandmother knew what was being taught in that church today, she'd get up and leave if she could. And in the classical Jerry Falwell manner, he said it all with a smile on his face. God bless him. By the way, God is blessing him today. Amen. Yeah. Some of the people stayed in liberal churches to attain or retain power. And I'm next up for election. I can't leave now. And sadly, some of them walked away, abandoned church altogether, gave up on Christianity completely, because their spiritual needs weren't being met. I find there are six groups of people in liberal-leaning and emergent churches. Now, there might be seven or eight. We might get a little more defined. But let me give you what I observe, six different types of folks. People who know what is happening and they like it. They're content to follow off into this new Christianity, and they don't really want to use the Bible anyway. And then there are people who really don't have a clue. They're just kind of along for the ride. That bothers me and concerns me. It should you. And there are people who sense something's wrong, but they're really not sure exactly what might be wrong. And then there are people who do have a clue, but for a variety of reasons, they really aren't going to say a word or do a thing. Maybe the most troublesome. And then there are people who know what the problem is, and they've decided to oppose it, and they're working through how to deal with the problem. And then there are people who realize in their particular case, no amount of labor, no amount of dialogue, no amount of talk, no amount of trying to bring change is going to do it. But they're still there, even though really, technically, in reality, they're already gone from the situation. Now, no one should take this message and my words to be an excuse just to get up and leave a church. I think we need to think hard and long before we do that kind of thing. There are plenty of disgruntled people. My best friends in life are pastors, people who have been in leadership, some professors. And I know all about how disgruntled people can cause a mess. And sometimes disgruntled for the wrong reasons. And some people are just looking for an excuse to be upset. They're always in turmoil. My daughter would say they're always having drama. The drama kings and queens are all around us. And this is really part of Satan's plan to disrupt the church when it's always in an uproar. Always in an upset condition. Let me give you some reasons why not to leave the church. Divorced from church for all the wrong reasons. And I could really give you a long list here, but I'll just give you a few things that are reasons not to leave a church. They changed the carpet in the nursery and you hate the new color. Oh, I've heard of such silly things. No one asked your opinion about the new drapes in the sanctuary. I've heard of that one in particular. Someone brought the wrong grade of toilet paper. Now that can be real trouble. You were passed over again when the deacons were elected, even though you're seen regularly down at the local tavern, and you don't see the need for tithing. Ever face that one? You're upset because the church board voted against hiring your favorite nephew as youth pastor, even though he just started coming to church and is still living with his girlfriend. Haven't really heard that one, but I thought it was good. And lastly, you're sure the pastor was preaching right at you during the message last Sunday. Isn't it amazing how people confuse God trying to deal with their heart from man preaching at them? Oh, yeah, and there's one other thing. He's been finishing at least 5 minutes late almost every service. It must be time to leave. Those are silly reasons, silly things. And it's amazing what people can take an offense at and get upset and get uptight and leave. And you know, now that we're talking about pastors, I want to address this because, you know, we talk a lot about heresy and what's being accepted in the church and how some pastors have led their congregations off the deep end. But I want you to understand there is relentless pressure on people in ministry to become seeker-oriented or program-oriented. There is so much pressure coming at pastors day in and day out. I mean, you used to have to almost get up in the morning and say, I will not accept anything but what the gospel says. I will not accept anything but what the gospel says. And repeat it over and over while you shave. Because there is so much pressure. They're bombarded with church growth materials every week. DVDs, books, newsletters, phone calls even about the church growth mentality. Then we have the purpose-driven and emergent and contemplative practices and the shack. And even New Age ideas, they're constantly trying to creep in. And sometimes well-meaning, misguided, or maybe non-biblical parishioners will bring this stuff in and they'll make a big deal about why everybody else's church is being purpose-driven and why we're not. If everybody else is doing it and you're not, praise the Lord. But that's what happens. Lay people and leaders both often endorse some ideas that are unbiblical. And some pastors who make their stand, it costs them their position. I know pastors personally who have either been fired or who have resigned from churches because they could not go along with the direction that the church itself was forcing them to go in. The intimidating pressure from peers and denominational officials in some of the denominations and from some peers can be overwhelming to a pastor who make him feel like he's out of step. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the kind of demonic attack that pastors are under who are standing up and saying, I'm going to hold on to God's word and nothing else? Some of you have experienced that kind of attack. You know what that's like. Imagine what it's like for the head of the flock, if you will, because Satan wants to cut off the head that he can then go and ravage the rest of the sheep. Pastors need your prayers. I encourage you every day as you pray to pray for them. So often our prayers are about our needs. It's a resemblance of the day we live in. Tragic. But we need to be praying for our pastors and standing with them. And we need to submit to them as long as their leadership is biblical. And follow as the scripture says. And put ourselves underneath their covering for our protection, our spiritual protection, and our families as well. Some folks may never have ever submitted to valid, biblically based leadership. And we need to get underneath that in this day. And then there are, as I pointed out, problems with people who are out there operating by Korah and Jezebel as their guide. You remember what Korah was all about? Korah was about defying God's leadership. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 16. It's pretty unsettling. As Korah's tents were all swallowed up, the ground opened up and God devoured them. And then the next day, the people came back to Moses and said, it's your fault that all that happened yesterday. It wasn't enough just to defy God's leaders. The next day they came back and said the same thing to him. And we all know the story of Jezebel. So this is the guiding exhortation to pastors. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is what we are to do who teach. We are to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, and always use doctrine, that dirty word in many circles. You see, there's not a whole lot of that going on in the church today, that reproving and rebuking and exhorting, because it's too uncomfortable. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to make anybody feel bad. Oh, maybe God will straighten it out. That's not what the scripture says we're to do. We're to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and be long-suffering and use doctrine as we do so. And Paul points out to Timothy, for the time will come. If he were here, would he say it's here? I think he would say it's already come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will hire people to tell them what they want to hear, and they'll get just what they deserve. That's exactly what Paul means here in what he says. and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That's the Greek word for mythology. They'd rather believe a myth than the truth. That's the day we live in today. And Paul says, keep going, Timothy. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for anyone who follows the truth. He reminds Timothy, what we've got to remember is there's a prize ahead. And anything we might have gone through, being divorced from our church setting, any pain and struggle, any feeling of ostracization we might have gone through, or being left out in the cold, well, if we hung on to the truth and we did it for the right reasons and we did it with the right spirit, it's going to be worth it. For someday he's coming. And I believe someday soon.
You're listening to Take a Stand Radio with your host, Eric Barger.
We'll get back to the rest of the message in just a few seconds, folks, but I do want to make sure you're aware that you can order either the CD or the DVD copy of Divorced from Church, and the DVD does have all the complete PowerPoint that I used in the message. You can do so by simply visiting our website web store at ericbarger.com or by calling 214-289-5244. Well, let's get back to the message now. Divorced from Church, when apostasy scatters the sheep.
So when is an acceptable time to leave? As Jan and I did the radio program on January 30th, she had sent me some notes and ideas, and these are some of her thoughts and maybe some of my rephrasing of them, but these are a few of the things we talked about on the radio that day. When is it time to leave? It's when the Word of God is no longer being honored, when they're no longer teaching the Word of God, when the Bible is abandoned, when error is tolerated, when cultic doctrine is endorsed. And you'll see lots of scripture passages there that we'll make sure are available on the video. But Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. If an angel from heaven preach a different gospel than the one the apostles preach, don't listen to it. Test everything by the Word of God. When is it an acceptable time to leave? When wanton sin is tolerated. When there's a systematic refusal to obey even their own church constitution and their rules of discipline. When people make exceptions because the best tither has been caught in adultery, and we don't want to say anything about it. If the church is seriously out of step with the biblical pattern, that's a reason to leave. And if programs and fads have replaced the preaching of God's Word, oh Lord, give us expository preachers who will take our congregations through the Word of God and teach them the truth, that they will be buttressed against the heresies of the end days. Oh Lord. And then the hypocrisy we see, the giving of lip service to biblical Christianity, but refusing to accept the true power of Christianity. All good and valid reasons to leave. Maybe the most valid, as Jan pointed out, is when God tells you to go, is it time to go. But please keep in mind, as you all have heard before, there is no perfect church. And if you're thinking about joining what you think is the perfect church, it won't be after you get there. Because when humans are involved, things get messed up. You know, one of the reasons I think why we don't have perfect churches is because God wants us to work through all the stuff that we're imperfect with. That's part of the repentance and acceptance and all those kind of things that are part of the dynamic of church. If God leads you to stay and to bring correction, just be forewarned that you're going to be snubbed, ostracized, misunderstood, and gossiped about. If you try to stay, I know this one personally. I know what will happen. If you have children and teens, then you need to think, you need to understand they're being affected. While you're trying to bring change and correction, could they be withering on the vine? And I believe our first and foremost duty as parents is to make sure our children are protected and raised up in the ways of the Lord. Amen? And so we don't want to stay in the midst of a situation where our kids are being lost. We should always try to bring change and correction, do as much as we can, but never at the expense of our family. Never at the expense of our family. Now, if these next few slides describe what you've gone through or are going through, you are not alone. Has your church abandoned the belief in or preaching of the entire Bible? Has the real, authentic biblical gospel been abandoned or neutered inside your church? Have good works replaced salvation through repentance and dependence on Jesus' shed blood? Are you tired of here and now self-help sermons that focus on earth only and not eternity? Oh, God, give us sermons about eternity, because we so focus only on the here and now, we seem not to be remembering about what's coming ahead. Jesus focused on eternity. Are you disturbed by the constant menu of silly skits and empty programs and mindless entertainment that's all being called something of having church? Has your church or denomination endorsed unbiblical positions on social issues? That's a telltale sign that the liberals 150 years ago could tell us that was happening in their midst before it all fell apart theologically. Are you a part of a church who operates more like a glorified social club? These are questions you need to ask, that you need to soul search on. And do you long for preaching that convicts the heart and stirs us to take action as God says? I hope you do. Have you watched as liberalism, emergent seeker, or purpose-driven philosophies have invaded and become the focus of your church? If any of these scenarios describe you, I understand, because I've been there. I've been divorced from church. In the 2 years before I became a Christian, right after my wife became a Christian, those 2 years, by the way, my wife and I came out of the drug lifestyle. We were both drug addicts. I was a New Ager. She was into witchcraft, and we both loved rock music. And I was producing records in a recording studio. I picked a counselor out of the phone book at random one day. He was a real live Bible-believing Christian, and because of his efforts with my wife, she eventually came to Jesus Christ. We're still in touch with that man. Praise the Lord. But in the 2 years after my wife surrendered to Christ, I put her through total hell. And then I started looking at my situation, and I was ready to leave my wife. Well, long story short, I became a Christian in my front room in the middle of the night one Sunday night, Monday morning in February of 1981. And I started attending the church my wife had been going to around the corner from our house. And you know, in those days, she wouldn't have known Presbyterian from Pentecostal. You know, she just knew they had a cross in the front yard, and she knew some people that went to the church who were really authentically born-again people who had a Bible study in their home that she was attending as well. And I started going to church with her, and they all thought this was wonderful. Why, look, Eric Barger's in church today. What, you know, is the wall, are the walls going to collapse? You know, they were wondering, you know, is lightning going to hit, you know? And I began, when I got saved, I really got saved, folks. I mean, I really got saved. And I started reading the Bible. I started memorizing the Bible. I mean, I started hiding the Word of God in my heart. And I began to observe what was going on in the church at that point. And it didn't look at anything like what I saw going on in the Scripture. And I was receiving really good teaching through Christian radio primarily and through some other teaching. And I thought, you know, this doesn't look like... I started asking questions. And all of a sudden, well, who are you to ask these questions, you know? I mean, you just got saved. You know, just calm down and sit in the pews for a while. Well, something wasn't right. And as time went on, for the next few months, I kept asking more questions. It's like when people would see me coming in the hall, they'd go the other direction immediately, you know. Here comes that radical again. Every Sunday morning, the pastor would say, has anything good happened to anybody this week? You know, in your church, you'd probably say, the pastor would say, do you have a testimony to give? Well, my hand would go up almost every Sunday, and you could almost feel the tension of the people around me in the seats as they were going, oh, no, not again. And I started asking too many questions. And you know, a series of circumstances took place during that time that I wasn't prepared for. First of all, the Lord sovereignly gave me a six-day-a-week radio program on the air in Seattle every day I was on every day but Sunday. I mean, I haven't even read the whole Bible through yet, and I'm on Christian radio. It was because I challenged the radio station owner about programs he had on the air that I didn't think were biblical, and they weren't. He had Roy Masters on the air every night, Foundation of Human Understanding, who says you could use the Bible for toilet paper. He was on at 10 o'clock every night. I knew something was wrong with that picture. I didn't have to read the whole Bible to figure that one out. We were going to have to walk away from that church when another church called me to be their youth pastor. And it spared me having to make the big split. But I was already divorced from the church as I sat there. If this is you over the next few slides, praise the Lord. Are you part of the church that believes that the Bible is the whole counsel of God? Are you a part of the church that believes that Jesus Christ is the only way for men to be saved? Are you a part of the church that believes in eternal heaven for believers and eternal punishment in hell for those who were lost? Are you a part of the church who studies and seeks God and prays for revival and is watching for the Lord to come back? And are you a part of the church that's ready to minister to the lost and dying culture? Someday the masses are going to be in complete turmoil like we've never seen. And many are going to be seeking answers and many be seeking hope. And when all else fails, I believe millions of people might actually turn to those around them who they know are Christians and to the churches in a desperate time of need. And at that time, are we going to give them a Rick Warren book or a Joel Osteen sermonette, or will we give them the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is the question. Amen. That is the question for us. And in the day of trouble, they're going to want to know, where is the church? They're going to want to ask that question. And the challenge is, we've got to ask ourselves, what would those before us have done in our day? What would Luther and Wesley and Spurgeon and Edwards and Moody and so many others have done? And more so, what would the apostles do if this was their day? Those are the questions for us, because the question that the world will find, that they'll want to know concerning the gospel, the question is, instead of where is the church, that they can find out there is the church. There is the church when they point to you and me. And finally, that God would say, there is my church. That we would hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because we did the right thing during the short time that we live here on this planet. So if you're asking, where is the church? If you felt left out in the cold, that you didn't know where to go to find ministry, I want to show you where the church is. Just look around you right now. Because you saw the hands raised a few minutes ago of people who were in sound, stable places where the Word of God is being preached. And you also saw the hands of people who are hurting and who have gone through trauma, maybe a long time ago, but the sting, the pain is still there. This is the kind of meeting where we need to learn who everybody else is and learn, meet new friends. Amen? And learn to depend on each other. If you're here today and you don't know where the church is, a lot of them are sitting right here in this building. Because they're hanging on to the Word of God. He's coming back for our bride without spot or wrinkle, following His Word. He is coming again soon. If you're hurting in this room today, as I close, I want to take just a moment and I want to pray for you. So if you'd bow your head with me, and I want you all just to seek the Lord here for a minute. Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that is our guiding way. I thank you, Father, you didn't leave us defenseless without understanding your truth. And we thank you, Father, you sent your Holy Spirit to be our comforter. There are people in this room right now, Lord, who are hurting. People in this room who have felt left out. People in this room who really, some of them probably have not known where to turn. Some of them probably stay home on Sundays. I pray, O God, for them to be comforted. I pray, O Lord, you come and bring them ministry. And I pray that they find a pastor worth his salt and a congregation where your word is glorified and magnified, and where it's held up as being the authentic and only way. So comfort us, Lord, and help us throughout the rest of this day as we continue to seek you, as we continue to learn. Help us be uplifted as we walk out, knowing that we are a part of your body. And we know the result at the end, Lord, and we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Eric Barger. Did you know that Take a Stand Radio is heard across the United States and on the internet worldwide each week because someone just like you connected with how important telling the hard truth is in our culture? For 30 years, Take a Stand Ministries has existed to see the lost saved and the church changed for the glory of God. But if we're going to continue this kind of cutting-edge ministry here on the radio, we need your financial support at this pivotal time. You can donate by mail, online, or by calling our office. And I invite you, come on and take your stand with us. Get involved.
This program is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, and is completely funded by the gifts of our friends and supporters. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation, or better yet, a monthly pledge to support the work of Take a Stand Radio. Your gifts, large or small, are appreciated and needed. Remember, our mission is to see the lost saved and the church changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Eric Barger enters his 30th year of discernment and apologetics ministry, we invite you to join with us.
You can write to me at Eric Barger, Take a Stand Ministries, P.O. Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Call our office at 214-289-5244 or find me on the internet at ericbarger.com. I appreciate you joining me today, folks. I'll talk to you again next week.